Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the weekly Saskatchewan Crop Report is out, and we've seen quite a jump in harvest progress in the past week. We'll tell you all about it. The president of APAS sees two pieces of important farm legislation that need to be resolved quickly by the incoming Trudeau government. We'll hear from Todd Lewis on today's program. An earlier harvest in most areas will provide additional time for fall fertilizer application. We'll speak with the manager of agronomy services with Nutrien Ag Solutions in northeast Saskatchewan about that. And Regina-based Protein Industries Canada has outlined a plan to expand farm sales by $25 billion in 15 years. CEO Bill Gruel will join us on today's program. All that and much more on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's mainly sunny once again here in the Yorkton area, and the temperatures seem to be fairly moderate today.
Yeah, we're above normal. We're climbing up already out of the teens. Looks not much more warming, but low 20s through the afternoon. The wind up a bit, 20 to 35. In fact, it'll get a little bit stronger after 2 or 3 o'clock. We'll start seeing gusts, which are around 40, 45 now, getting into the 50, 55 range this afternoon. Then this evening, they'll drop back off. Overnight wind, 15 to 25, just a gentle breeze most of the night and a mainly clear sky. There is a frontal boundary, which is crossing the province right now. Not much moisture with it, as you can see. There's just not much cloud cover with it. The front's still to our west, but even as it gets closer, it's going to be sliding in behind daytime heating. The active front is well off to our east. It's sitting almost now, maybe southern Ontario, maybe so Michigan. It's right on the border there. But that's where the active weather is, and that's actually helping to pull some dry air back around it, even though it's far east. It's pulling dry air all the way across northern Ontario, back across Montana and Saskatchewan. Through the afternoon, through tonight, tomorrow, the frontal boundary, which is sitting, again, right overhead, and actually several behind it, too, these are all going to clear through. Until they do, the wind will stay up. That's going to be our only real significant factor from this is the breeze, which picks back up through the afternoon tomorrow. Likely not as strong of gust tomorrow, but still wind in the 20 to 35 range. A sunny day. Low tonight down to 3, getting into that near frost, which, worth noting, is normal. That's where we should be this time of year. It starts getting into that frost, and sooner the wind really keeping it from dropping much more. Tomorrow, high 15, so a little cooler. But again, that is where we should be this time of year. That's a normal high. Partly cloudy sky for Friday night, low of 6, and the wind turns into the southwest on Saturday. That's not even the back edge of this. It's the next system pushing a warm front across the region. Just a little cloud cover with it. I don't think we get much of a shower, but at least a little cloud cover late Friday night into early Saturday. 24 on Saturday. In the low 20s on Sunday with sunshine, and Monday partly to mostly 25, partly to mostly sunny, that is, 25 on Monday, and we could even top that on Tuesday.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour. The Paw is at 18 degrees, Swan River 21, Dauphin 23, Brandon 22, Show Lake Russell and Roblin 20. Regina and Hudson Bay are at 19 degrees, Saskatoon 13, Broadview Mooseman Indian Head 20, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington 17. The Yorkton Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a west-northwest wind at 35, gusting to 48 kilometers an hour. 31% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 20 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 26 degrees and dropped to a low of 6 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 14 degrees. The normal low is 3 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 6:38 this morning, and it will set at 6:46 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Melitta at 27 degrees. The cold spot was Churchill at 0. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Yellowgrass at 29 degrees. The cold spot was Ville-Marie at 0. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GXN Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GXN Agriculture. Saskatchewan's weekly crop report was released this morning. Saskatchewan Agriculture Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says producers continue to make excellent harvest progress.
Yeah, some warm, dry days last week really helped farmers out, and they were able to get out in their fields and just, combine without issue. So we're sitting at 89% of the crop now in the bin, up from 74% last week, and well ahead of our five-year average of 63% for this time of year. So just about wrapped up, and a couple more weeks of good weather, and they'll be wrapped up and done for good. There's still 7% of the crop swathed or ready to straight combine out there, and that's mostly canola and flax. Just waiting for it to kind of to dry down and get ready for harvest.
Can you break down the harvest progress region by region?
The southwest region sitting at 94% of the crop now combined. The southeast with 92, the west central with 89, the east central with 84, the northeast with 90, and finally the northwest with 77. So just about every region is about wrapped up but well ahead of where they normally are.
What types of crops are already in the bin?
Lentils and field peas are just about done. They're about 99% complete for both. Durham's sitting at 97, 89% for barley, 94% for spring wheat, 93% for chickpeas, 80% of the oats, 80% of the canola, and 64% of the flax have now been combined. There's an additional 15% of canola that's swathed or ready to straight cut. So, like I said, another week of good weather, and most of those crops will be all off except for likely flax. Flax will likely take just a little bit longer.
How long will it take that flax to be ready for harvest?
I think most producers just wait for a good frost because flax isn't it doesn't damage the oil content of flax, so they can wait for a good frost and use just kind of Mother Nature to help them out that way.
Was there much precipitation reported in the past week?
No, there was not. So the most rainfall that fell in the province, or at least was reported by my reporters, was 10 mils in the Macklin area. And then, other areas of the province got, from trace amounts, one millimeter to up to five or maybe eight mils. So not very much rain, but fortunately it is harvest, so most producers aren't too worried about it not raining right now, but of course we want that rain the second that harvest is done for everybody, and we can replenish the groundwater.
How are topsoil moisture conditions?
It's fallen this week from the previous report. We're sitting at 25% adequate, 46% short, and 29% very short for cropland. For hay and pasture land, we're rated as 16% adequate, 40% short, and 44% very short. So, like I said, these numbers have declined, which isn't surprising because it hasn't rained, and we've had some pretty strong winds across the province and some hot days.
What damaged crops over the past week?
Well, we've had some, like I said, strong winds, some heavy to light frosts, and there's a lot of waterfowl and wildlife damage that's being reported. So, you know, when it comes to frost, it, you know, right now, especially down here in the south, most of the crop is off, and there's not much to not much of a concern with damage. But maybe up north, where there's with some later maturing crops, there might be some seed damage there, but unlikely. It's just the crop was so well matured that the damage is quite low. But for anyone who's got wildlife damage, of course, the Crop Insurance Agency has a wildlife compensation program, even if you're not an existing customer with them. So reach out to the Crop Insurance Agency and see what they can do for you.
What are pasture conditions like?
Well, you know, after a hard year, their ratings are quite low. So we're sitting at 7% good, 29% fair, 41% poor, and 23% very poor. Of course, these vary across the province. We see that in the southeast and east central, things are looking a little bit better just because they had the rain during the season. But, you know, the southwest and west central regions, certainly their pastures have taken a real hit this year, and they're going to need a lot of moisture as well as the north. They're going to need a lot of moisture in the spring and a good snowfall over the winter to really help them out for spring.
And what are producers up to right now?
They're wrapping up harvest other activities, hauling bales and moving cattle and hauling water. And then there's, for those who can do it, they'll be spreading some false fertilizer if moisture conditions are right in their field. If it's too dry, most will likely hold off. And as well as there's some herbicide applications going on in fields with quite a bit of regrowth. The one thing to note that there is several reports that producers are holding off planting of winter cereals just due to moisture concerns. It's just too dry out there to seed and to hope that it comes up before the winter.
Matt Struthers compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
The ICE Futures canola market held range-bound during the week ended yesterday, looking for some direction. While uncertainty over the size of this year's drought-stricken Canadian canola crop remains supportive, it's been noted that canola is very expensive compared to other oil seeds, and the market has done its job of rationing demand. Exports are already down substantially on the year, although they should pick up somewhat as more new crop supplies become available. Looking forward, canola prices will have to be expensive, but expensive is a relative word, noting that the direction in the canola market will depend on what happens in soy oil. If soy oil prices fall, canola could also break lower, but still be high price compared to the product values. Beyond the North American harvest, the big thing on the horizon is Brazil. Farmers there are just starting to seed the next soybean crop, with any weather issues likely to provide support while improving conditions would be bearish. China's state planner says the government will take measures to keep supply and prices of fertilizer stable, including releasing potash fertilizer reserves and ensuring imports reach farmers as it looks to bolster food security. Their National Development and Reform Commission says it was one of 13 government departments that had issued a notice requiring companies to prioritize supply of raw materials and energy to fertilizer makers. Shipping capacity for fertilizer imports will be secured and capacity utilization rates at fertilizer firms increased. China relies on imports of potash, widely used as a fertilizer, for about half its total annual demand. Supply is very tight, largely due to a lack of import contracts agreed with suppliers earlier in the year. China has repeatedly moved to try to tame high commodity prices this year, including by selling off state metal reserves for the first time in over a decade. On Friday, it will hold its first auction of strategic crude oil reserves. Chinese prices of urea, another fertilizer ingredient, have also gained around 64% so far this year, boosted by high coal prices and concerns over lower supplies amid a crackdown on high energy-consuming projects. Taiwan has formally applied to join the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership less than a week after China said it too had submitted an application. Taiwan has been angling to join the grouping for a while and had already been discussing the issue informally with the bloc's existing members. The original 12-member agreement, known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, was seen as an important economic counterweight to China's growing influence. But the TPP was thrown into limbo in early 2017 when then-U.S. President Donald Trump pulled the United States out of the pact. The grouping, which was renamed the CPTPP, currently links Canada, Australia, Brunei, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, and Vietnam. Britain is also keen to join the CPTPP, and in June began negotiations. Meanwhile, Britain warned its food producers to prepare for a 400% rise in carbon dioxide prices after extending emergency state support to avert a shortage of poultry and meat triggered by soaring costs of wholesale natural gas. Natural gas prices have spiked this year as economies reopen from COVID-19 lockdowns and high demand for liquefied natural gas in Asia pushed down supplies to Europe, sending shockwaves through industries reliant on the energy source. Carbon dioxide, or CO2, is a byproduct of the fertilizer industry, Britain's main source of CO2, where natural gas is the biggest input cost. The natural gas price surge has forced some fertilizer plants to shut down in recent weeks, leading to a shortage of CO2 used to put the fizz into beer and sodas and to stun poultry and pigs before slaughter. And that's the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's mainly sunny and 20 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. APAS President Todd Lewis sees two pieces of important farm legislation that need to be resolved quickly by the incoming Trudeau government. Lewis is commenting about the results of Monday night's election, which returned a minority Liberal government under Justin Trudeau.
It's basically the same spot we were in before, so I guess the best I can say is let's hope we can get back to work now and glad the election's over with. And it's going to be interesting, I think, you know, who, if we're going to have a see a cabinet shuffle after the election here and see if we end up with a change of the ag ministers. Madame Lebeau has done a, you know, really does know the file quite well now, but we'll see if she ends up getting into a different portfolio or not. And other than that, let's get to work and get busy.
Should there be a new federal agriculture minister?
I don't think it's really warranted at this point. We're right in the middle of federal-provincial negotiations on the business risk management programming. And as I said, the bureaucracy is in place, and Madame Bebo has learned the file fairly well. So I think, you know, we'd be satisfied to see her remain on as ag minister. But if changes are going to happen, we'll look forward to working with whoever takes her place.
What are the key farm issues facing the Trudeau government as they replan their future?
Well, I think, you know, we looked to the last parliament, you know, when parliament rose and was dissolved, there was two pretty important bills that were at the Senate level. It had passed through the House, private member bills. One was Alberta MP John Barlow's trespassing bill that had gone through the House of Commons and was waiting for Senate approval. And the other one was the private members bill from a member from Ontario that talked about grain drying and exemptions on farm fuels used for grain drying. So I think both of those pieces of legislation passed through the House. It didn't get through the Senate, but I think they should be reintroduced as soon as possible and run through the system again. And hopefully we'll see both those bills be approved.
Meanwhile, how's harvest been going for you this fall?
Harvest's been, really quite trouble-free as far as weather-wise and so on. We had 2 weeks of weather there right towards the end of August that there was some rain, but got through that, and we wrapped up at our place last week, and really overall probably an average to below average crop, but with the prices we're seeing right now, we're going to be okay, but certainly there's a lot of areas, really not very far from us, where low yield because of the drought, of course, and then even some of the hailstorms, late season hailstorms had quite an effect here, south of Regina. We had neighbors west of us there that saw some pretty significant damage for storms in August.
How's your soil moisture?
We would probably be going into the fall now. We would be adequate to just below adequate. A lot of the cracks in the ground have filled in, but we'll take more, of course. It was interesting, those late August rains, they all soaked away. And so we're certainly needing more rainfall and some snowfall and to top up some dugouts and surface water sources for things like spraying. And certainly the livestock producers will need to see their dugouts refilled and replenished. And really the whole province could certainly use a real good soaking here.
Todd Lewis farms near Gray, southeast of Regina, and he's the president of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan. It's time now for the livestock market conditions and their presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for October closed at 123.22 today. That's down 5. December live cattle closed at 128.62, up 7. October feeder cattle closed at 156.85, down 82. November feeder cattle closed at 158.10, down 12. October lean hogs closed at 84.75, up 90. December lean hogs closed at 76.50, up 3.12. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton.
Hello, cattleman. Junior for Heartland Livestock Services, Yorkton, with your market report for the week of September 22nd. A real nice running offer here this week with 2357 in the sort and 283 cows and bulls for a total of 2640. This week's pre-sort sale was a Semitol influenced sale, and we would like to thank Double Bar D Semitols of Grenfell for sponsoring coffee and donuts for our producers. This week's sale was under a little pressure, but we still saw some good prices on some top cut cattle. Here are a few highlights of this week's sale. 115 red X steers, 565 pounds at 235 and a quarter. 94 steers, 632 at 228. 430 pound red X steers, 264. And their big brother, 780 pounds at 206. On the buckskin steers, 414 pounds at 278, 490 weights at 257, and the 706 pound buckskin steers at 220. The black steers, 412 pounds at 270, 560 weights at 235, 635 weights at 221, and their 714 pound black steers at 216.50. In the heifer pens, they're still 30 to 35 cents back from their brothers. On the cow sale, we saw 240 cows average 81.50. D1, D2 cows 80 to 86 with a high of 90. D3 cows 73 to 78 with a high of 79. And your light shelly cows 64 to 70. Our heiferettes, $1.10 to $1.18. The bull trade, we saw 25 bulls average $1.09 with a high of $1.18 on a good hard exotic bull. Producers, our monthly sheep and goat sales this Friday, September 24th at 11 a.m. Receiving is Thursday from 12 till 8 and sale day up to sale time. The horse sale will follow at 3 p.m. on Friday, September 24th. Producers, next week is our Charley influence sale, so give us a call to book your cattle for the sale. We're receiving cattle Mondays and Tuesdays up until 4 p.m. Once again, this has been Junior for HLS Yorkton, the market that gets the big numbers and the high prices. Thank you and have a great day.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. An earlier harvest in most areas will provide additional time for fall fertilizer application. Yields were below targeted levels, and that should mean higher levels of residual nutrients. Lyle Cowell is the manager of agronomy services with Nutrient Ag Solutions in northeastern Saskatchewan. He says a lot of things can happen in the soil, creating nutrient variability in different parts of the field.
Some areas of the field will yield better and will use the nutrients that we applied more effectively, more efficiently. And so they'll drain down the available nutrients. Now, at the same time we look at that, there's also the factor in low areas that we might have an accumulation of nutrients. During these dry spells, we often have an accumulation of nutrients on the soil surface in low areas, especially sulfur, and that can be related to salinity, but other nutrients are often accumulated in low areas as well. So you have to be very careful even in your soil sampling. Honestly, I always recommend simply avoiding the low areas in a broad range type of soil sample, because those low areas are especially going to throw off the accuracy of the whole field sample.
Cowell recommends targeting soil samples.
Broad range composite samples that are just randomly taken across a field are rarely good samples, rarely accurate. But that has been the tradition of most soil sampling in Western Canada, is just to take a composite sample randomly across the field, partly because we've never had previously had the ability to target a soil sample. So now we have, with GPS, with NDVI imagery, we have some tools now that we can identify areas in the field that we should target benchmark samples. And my opinion of soil sampling is that we should benchmark sample one or more small areas in the field. So start with targeting a benchmark area within the best yielding area of the field. A farmer makes his money on the best part of the land, so we should probably target that for the best nutrient management. But then you can follow that up. There's the especially extremely variable areas. If there's particularly poor producing areas in the field, you can benchmark sample there and get an idea of why the crop is doing poorly in those areas. So that's really the start of variable rate management, is just simply targeting different parts of the field in soil sampling. And you can learn so much more and be so much more accurate when we do this.
And when is the best time to take soil samples when you will be applying fall fertilizer?
If you intend to fertilize this fall, then still try time it close to when you will apply that fertilizer. Don't get ahead of yourself. A lot of things can change. Now, we know right now there's regrowth and weed uptake. I don't know if it's going to rain 3 inches 2 weeks from now. All we can do is not get ahead of ourselves, let the soil cool down, let ourselves get closer to the time that we apply fertilizer or when we start the crop growing, and we'll be better for it. Right now, really, the soil is a little warm. A lot of things can change in the soil. We can have removal from nutrients from the field. We might, if we have a significant rainfall, we might see some leaching or denitrification of N. Soil nutrition, it's kind of a rolling movie, and we're just trying to capture one frame out of that movie when we soil sample. And so we have to, again, try to delay it as much as you can tolerate, I guess, so you have the samples for when you need them.
Cowell says good fertilizer management is a way to reduce costs.
We need to start by identifying the areas of the farm that really are not profitable, and maybe reducing fertilizer rates in those areas, or in the big picture, really variable farm management, just quit farming them. If you're not making money there, let's quit farming them. Let's quit fertilizing them. And let's put that input, that relatively high fertilizer cost, on the areas of your farm that's really making money. And we need to do that a lot more than what we're doing right now. I still see too frequently application of fertilizer broad-based across the field, whether an area is profitable or not. And, you know, that's not good for anybody. It's not good for the farmer. It's not good for the environment. It's not, and we have the technology to avoid that sort of application now.
Lyle Cowell is the manager of agronomy services with Nutrien in northeastern Saskatchewan. Cowell's comments come from the Wheat Profit podcast produced by the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission. It's time now for your commodities update, and that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty agent.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed up across the board again today. November canola closed at $876.90, up $9.50. January canola closed at $868.40, up $8.10. December Minneapolis wheat closed at 9.11 and a half, up 8 cents. December Kansas City wheat closed at 7.20 per bushel, up 14 cents. December Chicago wheat closed at 7.17 and three quarters, up 12 cents. December corn closed at 5.29 and a quarter, up 3 3/4 of a cent. November soybeans closed at 12.84 and a quarter, up 1 1/2 cents. December oats closed at 5.80 per bushel, up 22 1/4 cents. And that's the commodities update. Regina-based Protein Industries Canada has outlined a plan to expand farm sales by $25 billion in 15 years. CEO Bill Gruhl says the roadmap to expand Canada's plant-based sales outlines key actions from businesses, research institutions, and governments.
We're heading into an era of unprecedented growth for plant-based food on a global basis. You know, the estimate for the size of this market about 10 or 15 years from now is measured in the hundreds of billions of dollars. And so what we thought at Protein Industries Canada was that it was time for us to develop a roadmap with a set of recommended outcomes and actions that Canada could work towards in order to capture a significant portion of that marketplace. And we think that opportunity for Canada could be upwards of $25 billion in annual sales 15 years from today.
So what's in the actual roadmap?
Yeah, so we've learned a lot in the last 3 years, and we worked with over 100 of our stakeholders to kind of think about what does Canada need to do. And so we settled on three themes. And the first one is innovation. You know, we really need to focus on innovation in this sector. We're talking about the development of product categories and food products that don't exist. We really need to have a strong and robust research and innovation sector, because I think innovation will underpin the growth of this industry long term. The second is around scale. So we're talking about growing an industry from where we are today, about $2.5 to $3 billion, to $25 billion. How do we help an industry in Canada scale up to meet that global demand in terms of ingredient processing capacity? How do we incent more companies like Roquette and Ingredion to build facilities here? How do we grow and scale Canadian homegrown companies to have impact on a global scale? How do we create the right business environment for those? So that's all around scale. And then the third area is prosper, and that is, how do we push as far down the value chain as we can? It's one thing for us to grow from commodities to ingredients. It's quite another thing for us as a nation to move from ingredients to finished food products, because that's where the value is going to lie. So how do we incent and push development along the value chain as far as we can? So it's these three themes of innovate, scale, and prosper. Each of those themes have a series of recommended actions that we think need to be undertaken by industry, by government, by the capital community. And so it's a very robust plan, we feel, to help Canada achieve what we can achieve in plant-based foods.
What's going to be required of producers?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because we don't have anything if we don't have the raw commodities. And so when I think about where we need to get to, you know, we need increased production. We need farmers to think about the quality of the crops that they're growing. More and more our customers, our end-use customers, are asking questions about life cycle analysis and carbon footprint. So that will require great data and information that starts at the producer level so that we can prove out sustainability claims. And I think we're going to need farmers long term to keep investing in science and innovation like they have done for years in Western Canada through the checkoffs, but maybe thinking about the investments that we're making in the context of what does that mean for Canada's plant-based food, feed, and ingredient sector. So maybe thinking about investments in plant breeding related to quality and not just yolk, which I know they do already. I would say increase the focus on research and development as well.
How much of an increase in production are you expecting from farmers?
Yeah, so this is the interesting thing, because, you know, if you look at the yield trajectory for the last 15 years, we've increased, you know, on average over the course of 15 years, 6, 7, 8 million metric tons of crop production. I expect those yield trends to continue because thankfully we've got the most innovative farmers in the world. And so, you know, I expect that over the course of the next 10 to 15 years throughout the life of this plant, that crop production on the prairies will increase by another, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 million metric tons. And that's the processing capacity that we need to build out. So, you know, if our farmers keep doing what they're doing, which is investing in innovation and plant breeding like they're doing, adopting new technologies and sustainable farming systems like they do, and increasing the production base, we're going to have more and more opportunity to deliver.
Gruhl says the goal is to make Canada a world leader in the supply of plant-based food, ingredients, and feed. The roadmap was released at Protein Industries Canada annual meeting. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 60 seconds time.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. A farmer from Kader, just southwest of Moose Jaw, says his harvest has wrapped up. Kyle Karaberg is involved with farming over 1,700 acres.
Well, the guys I worked for were all done. And then, like, my brother had a bunch of green feed and oats that we harvested. So everything's all done around here. It's just kind of picking bales and basic fall work right now.
How were yields?
Could have been better. Could have been better, but some were better than we thought. So definitely could have been better, but for the moisture we got, we'll take it.
How much moisture did you get?
Not enough. Definitely was below, way, way below average. Like, we got sloughs dry around here that I've never seen dry in my time. So, like, even my dad or some older gentlemen around here, they've never seen dry. So we definitely are dry.
Did you get much rain in the last month or so?
Yeah, like, we've had good moisture, like, in September, or not September, or August there. But right now, we could definitely use some.
What were your best and worst crops this year?
Kind of hard to say. Like, they're all hit and miss. Depends on the area. So, kind of hard to say which was the best and which was the worst. So, depended on the area.
What's your reaction to the markets?
They're high. They're definitely surprising, like, especially the cattle market being as high as it is for, you know, them predicting not being as much feed. The cattle market is staying strong. The grain prices are, you know, definitely way higher than a lot of people have ever seen. So, but the quantity's not there.
How are the pastures in your area?
They definitely greened up after the rains. Before the rains, they were looked like a bunch of golf courses, but after the rains they greened up. But just water situations right now, like, definitely could be some grass and pastures, but a lot of pastures don't have a significant amount of water to hold cattle. So hope we have a better year next year, hoping for a better year, better yields, and better for everybody, just especially this time of age. It'd be nice to have something to lift people's spirits. So it's kind of hard when you're getting hit from three different directions.
Kyle Karaberg farms at Kader, just southwest of Moose Jaw. It's time now for your agriculture weather, and that's a presentation of Ducks Unlimited. New SCIC seeding deadline for fall seeded crops is September 30th. There's still time to sign up for DUC's winter wheat program. The GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly sunny, winds west-northwest at 20 to 35 and gusting higher at times, a high of 22 degrees. For tonight, clear, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25 and a low of 3. For tomorrow, sunny, winds west-northwest at 20 to 35 and a high of 15. Saturday, partly sunny, winds southwest at 20 to 35 and a high of 24. Sunday, sunny, a high of 21. And Monday, partly to mainly sunny, a high of 25. In the Paw, it's 18 degrees, Swan River 21, Dauphin 23, Brandon 22, Show Lake Russell and Roblin 20. Regina and Hudson Bay are at 19, Saskatoon 13, Broadview Mooseman Indian Head 20, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington 17. The Yorkton Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a west-northwest wind at 35, gusting to 48 kilometers an hour. 31% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 20 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.